mal ihr Herz.
Hello, folks. It is that time again. That time again for, once again, our podcast could be your life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Caroline.
Yes, and we are in week three of swimming in the mainstream is such a lame dream month. Last 2 weeks, we did Rage Against the Machine and...
Beck,
that's right.
How could you forget him?
I'm sorry. Because Rage Against the Machine, just, you know.
Don't you remember that time that he met you at JCPenney?
I do now. But this week we're doing a band that is probably better than either of those two illustrious artists, in my opinion. And here to talk about this band with me is my good friend, Harold.
Hello, hello.
Yes. Harold is joining us for the third time?
Yes.
That's about right.
Yeah.
You are in our U2 and McCluskey episode.
Yes. An early classic, the U2 episode.
That really is a good one.
This should be the time I get it right.
They do say third time is the charm.
Rule of threes in comedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's true. And I don't know anyone more charming than Harry.
True.
You don't know a whole lot of people, to be fair.
That's true. I only have, like, four friends. Yeah.
Sure. So,
and that's, like, counting Paige, you know.
Well, yeah, she's your friend. Like, yeah, but you're getting married, but she's also your friend.
But she's my special friend, you know. That's a...
Yeah.
Benefits.
You took the concept of friends with benefits too far, and yeah. Now you're getting married.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done that.
Oh, of course.
Didn't you watch the Ryan Reynolds picture?
Which one?
Friends with Benefits?
Wasn't that Ryan Reynolds?
Was that the... No, I think that was the one... I think Friends with Benefits was Natalie Portman and Justin Timberlake. I think Ryan Reynolds was in a very similar...
He was in that movie with Sandra Bullock, where he's her assistant.
The Proposal.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw that movie.
Really?
I saw it in a theater.
How was it?
It was not good. I saw it because my friend was like, oh, I'm going to go out with my boyfriend and I need a cover. So will you come with us to see this movie?
A cover?
I don't know. It was stupid. It was high school.
What were you covering?
Said he was going out with his boyfriend.
Yeah. Like from... His parents?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now I get
it. It was one of those.
Anyway, Harry, what band are we talking about today?
I believe it's U2.
That's true.
We're doing it again.
U2 part 2.
We're doing the rest of their discography that we didn't cover the first time around.
Sure, sure.
You know,
did we talk about...
Songs of Innocence?
Yeah.
We didn't.
I realized I was looking at my iTunes because I don't use my iTunes that often anymore. And I was looking at it. And I was like, U2. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I must have downloaded some stuff when we did that episode. But no, it was Songs of Innocence.
Yeah, because they put it on everyone's fucking iPod.
I know, but for some reason, I thought that skipped me.
You can't escape U2, Carolyn.
I guess not.
But after we're done talking about the rest of U2's catalog.
Oh, yeah, then we're going to mention Queens of the Stone Age, right?
That's right. We're going to do a brief bit on Queens of the Stone Age at the very end of the episode.
Yeah, so tune in.
Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Skip to the end.
So U2, they were good.
Bono and the Boys.
Bono and the Boys.
You know, The Edge has a signature Stratocaster now.
Really?
Sick.
Yeah, like that just came out.
Well, I know what I'm getting with my Christmas money.
You know what's even more interesting?
Huh.
Adam Clayton has had a signature jazz bass for, like, years.
A jazz bass?
Yeah, like a Fender jazz bass. Like, it's a type of bass.
Okay.
And he got in the signature instrument game before the Edge did.
That's true. Adam Clay, 2,000 pounds.
That's right.
But in all seriousness, folks, enough joking around.
Can I get one more?
Okay.
Fender jazz bass, hardly even know her jazz bass. Lord, I apologize.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
Be with the star and pygmies.
Anyway, we're talking about Queens of the Stone Age, who Harry and I, we go way back with Queens, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, always. Like a decade or so, right?
Mm-hmm. We've been fans for a long time.
I can't believe I'm third wheeling on this episode already.
Me and Harry have a lot of history together, all right?
Yeah. I know, and I love it.
A lot.
How did you get into Queens?
I remember when the No One Knows single came out, and I was still bumping the lamestream radio. I enjoyed it, and then my mom picked up that album, actually, so we'd bump it in the Honda minivan.
Really?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Mom was
Your mom didn't have a Windstar?
No, it was the, what you call it?
Aerostar?
Yeah, everyone had. Odyssey.
Odyssey. Oh, the Honda.
Based off the popular book.
Yeah, the best-selling book, The Odyssey.
The van adaptation of The Odyssey.
Dreams like that, where, like, music... Like, people will turn music...
Is a van?
No, like, they'll turn music into, like, food at restaurants.
What?
I don't know, it's stupid. I'm just saying, it's just a thing that happens.
But the Odyssey was that box motherfucker, right? The one that looked like a box.
It was the one that was the exact same as the Town and Country and that other one, the Ford whatever. They were all the same fucking model.
There's a car called Town and Country.
Town and Country.
It covers it. It covers most of it.
Sure.
It lets you know where you can drive.
Yeah. If you want to, it's like, hey, can I drive this in a city? Get the fuck out of here.
Not rated for that. Rivers, you're out.
Until we invent the ocean, I'm fucking... not impressed.
Yeah, I think they've done that.
I have some very exciting news for you, Jeff.
Huh.
There's been an ocean for a long time.
I meant the car.
In fact,
the ocean.
There's a number of
that can drive on the goddamn ocean.
Oh. Well, that's just a boat.
Did you just say there's seven of them?
Yeah.
Yes, seven.
Yeah, there's seven oceans. Seven, you got Africa, right? You got America, you got the Australia.
No, there's seven.
You got
seas.
The Rhine.
I'm not stupid. I know what I was doing.
There's seven oceans and 40 thieves. It's geography.
Yep.
Okay, well, my knowledge of geography stopped around like fifth grade, so.
Well. So. You should learn more geography then.
There's
a lot you don't know about.
I know.
That's bad. I wouldn't brag about that.
I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from.
Bro, do you even isthmus?
No.
Do you even isthmus? Anyway, Queens of the Stone Age. God, this has gotten off to a bad start already. So what about you, Caroline? Had you never listened to Queens of the Stone Age before?
I had never listened to them. I had heard, like, Go With the Flow and, like, some of their singles or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had never, like, listened to any of their albums. I do remember my oldest brother, who's my cool brother. Mm-hmm. He, when I was, like, 15, he was like, do you like Queens of the Stone Age? I was like, oh, I've heard of them. I don't really know their stuff, but he really liked them at the time. And then I listened to them this week, and I was like, yeah, I really should have listened to them when I was 15.
That's when you would have liked them?
Well, that's what I would have liked them more. I do like them. It's just like, I do kind of feel like they passed me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're good. I mean, I enjoyed listening to the stuff.
All right.
Cool. Well, this has been a great episode, guys.
Yep. Good job.
That wraps that up nicely with a bow.
Yep. Mm.
What would you say the appeal of Queens is, Harry? Because I can't. I'm tempted to just say that they write really good songs.
Yeah, they just got them riffs, bro.
Yeah, they got. I mean, they do have like kind of a unique sound, especially with like Era Vulgaris, where they get that weird tone going on. But there's
that album's
like,
really good.
They do exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like guitar tone, I think is a big part of it. Like, just the sound of these records, they sound fantastic. You
they
know?
Do. They really do.
And like the guitars are like deep and warm sounding, and like
if you're into guitar tone because you're annoying, I mean, here you fucking go, dude.
Have at it.
Yeah, just tone for days.
I feel like if you like rock music, you gotta appreciate guitar tone, right?
I mean, I guess I feel like a lot of people maybe wouldn't vocalize it. Like, my mom likes rock music quite a lot, but I've never heard her talk about, like, tone.
Hmm.
I'm sure that it's something that she responds to, but, like, she doesn't... It's not something that's vocalized.
I see.
Whereas, like, for somebody like me that's, like, really into, like, pretty deep into stuff and likes analyzing stuff, that is something that I take into consideration. But it wasn't something I did when I was younger and was more of a surface level kind of listener.
You're totally entry level.
Well, we all have to start somewhere, okay?
Yeah, I guess. I'm just going to be condescending about it, though.
Oh, sure.
Because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
I worry people find me condescending at times.
Who?
I don't know, just people. Like, do I talk down to people? I think maybe I do.
I don't think so. Maybe I just don't think so because we're friends.
Right, and you're, like, just as much of an arrogant prick as I am.
Oh, God, I hope not.
No, I'm just kidding. It's all good.
I was told not long ago that I seem like a very gentle person.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, so...
I would say you are.
Yeah, so, like... Put that in your hat.
And smoke it.
Yeah.
Just light your hat on fire.
Yeah. You should. Hats are stupid. You don't need
them. Hey, no. Hats need to make a comeback.
I never wear hats.
I look so stupid in hats. I will never be a snapback lesbian because I just look like a fucking... You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not going to happen because I just look dumb.
Snapback. You would look like a kid if you wore a snapback.
I know. I would look like a child.
You'd look like you need to be holding a giant lollipop.
I know. I really would. Well, because part of the thing is that people wear them a little too big for their head.
Right. So they could snap it back.
Yeah, I know. But that makes you look smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It makes your head look tiny.
Just put big shoulder pads on, too.
Yeah, that'll look like the dude at the end of Beetlejuice.
Put big shoulder pads on your hat?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So Queens came out of... Harry, is it pronounced Hom or Hommy?
I've always heard Hommy.
Hommy? Okay.
Hommy.
So Josh Homme was in Caius for a long time.
Josh Homme.
Which owns?
Caius
owns, and I've been saying it Kius for God knows how long, so I'm really glad I got corrected right away.
I mean, I always just assumed that was how it was pronounced. Kius sounds stupid.
Yeah. No, it does, and so...
Kius sounds like you bit into a spicy pepper.
Did.
Kius! Oh!
No, you're right. I'm wrong. I got corrected. I'm happy for it. But Welcome to Sky Valley by Caius is a really good album.
There you go.
I've been bumping that all weekend because I just bought it.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
Man, pretty check cool. it out. Last two records I bought were a Best of the Ventures record that has a lady in a golden bikini on the cover.
Oh, that's hot.
And It looks weird because it's one of those bikinis where it's kind of baggy, so it looks like a diaper.
That's hot.
Yeah. And the first Sonic Youth EP.
And the what?
The first Sonic Youth EP.
Oh,
cool. The self-title?
Like, yeah, like with Burning Spear.
It's pretty dope shit.
Mm. Yeah, it was cool. It was, I went to Colombia, and...
How's the coffee?
In Colombia?
Yeah.
The coffee at my friend's apartment was good.
She made. Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Is that what they call it these days?
Beans.
See,
straight grinded beans, bro.
Look, all I'm going to tell you is that a lady doesn't kiss and tell. All
right, fair enough. So,
don't worry about it.
All right, well, hopefully there will be lots of coffee made for you in the near future.
Oh, my.
We should turn this into like an episode of Golden Girls or something.
Just talk about our coffee.
Cheesecake, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what I say?
I do have a flowing sequined robe that I've just been waiting to break out.
By the way, just wear it every day. Make that your thing.
You just have to own it.
I actually do have like a metallic bronze skirt that I bought.
Uh-huh.
Just because I was like, well, this is stupid. I'm going to buy it. And then because I'll be too embarrassed.
So you're into Caius, Caroline. Why did it take you so long to hear Queens of the Stone Age?
I don't know. I think I got into Caius later, and that was through like being into like Sleep and other kind of stoner, mm-hmm. stoner rock, stoner metal kind of stuff. And then I just kind of didn't make the connection, I guess.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, no, it's not.
Well, Queens of the Stone Age are a very good band, and I think they write very good songs, which I think they take like a lot of that sort of stoner metal influence, like Sleep and obviously Caius and shit, and they really like write melodic sort of hard rock songs with these tones from stoner metal and doom metal and shit, and like,
yeah,
it's to mostly excellent effect. Like I think Josh Homme is a very good songwriter in that he writes catchy songs, melodic songs with big riffs, and I think Queens of the Stone Age was the last good mainstream rock band. I can't think of one since.
You're forgetting Angels and Airwaves.
I have a really weird connection with Angels and Airwaves, if you'd like to hear it.
Okay.
Go on.
So, I had a Shakespeare professor, and he and I, like, were sort of buds at one point. Like, as close of buds as a 48-year-old British man and a 21-year-old North Carolinian girl could be.
And you listen to Angels and Airwaves together?
No. He is an author of like mysteries and historical fiction. And he is currently on a book tour with Tom DeLonge because they collaborated on a novel together.
No fucking way.
Super fucking way. It's this whole fucking... Tom DeLonge is trying to create like this whole fucking media empire to convince people that aliens are real, and my Shakespeare professor is right in it. No wow. fucking joke.
Yeah, front lines. Hell yeah.
So,
Caroline, you're one degree of separation away from Tom DeLonge.
I know, we could, like, hang out.
Cross that off the bucket list.
Dude.
Let's get him on this podcast.
Yes. We could talk about The Descendants with him or something. He probably likes The Descendants.
Oh, yeah.
Or we could just interview him.
Yeah. What's with aliens, bro?
What's the deal with aliens?
That's the only thing I would know to ask him, because that's like all I know about him.
Ask him if he likes Hurley t-shirts.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Is he the impresario behind Macbeth shoes, too?
No, that was Shakespeare.
No, there's like a line of like vegan sneakers.
Who eats their sneakers?
I don't know. That's just what they're called. and they're called Macbeth, and they're like really kind of ugly, like etnies looking things where your feet look enormous.
Well, don't you know when they're done making a sneaker, they splash it with milk to like strengthen it against the elements?
Well, I think it just means that they don't use like leather.
Wow.
Leather comes from animals,
right?
You got
all my shoes have an imam slice open a pig right over them.
Yeah. I just wear, like, animal carcasses, like, right on my feet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just do, like, a mini version of that Tauntaun scene from Empire Strikes Back, like, every morning. I just put
gotta get inside the animal.
Yeah, I just put my feet in there.
Blink-182 had a song called Aliens Exist.
I know they did.
They don't.
Yeah. I could probably sing it if called upon.
Yeah. Dark and scary.
Yeah.
So yeah, Queens of the Stone Age. God damn it, we haven't talked about Queens of the Stone Age at all. They have a bunch of albums.
There's several.
Yeah,
one might argue.
I would say a bunch.
I think six is a bunch.
It's a handful.
That's a catalog.
A bunch is eight. Because, like, a bunch of bananas.
What? You find some massive bunches. Every bunch I see is, like, 3 to 5.
The times have changed. And they're doing that now. They're doing that now because people are just... I mean, I hate to use a word like this, but people are just pussies now. I will not eat a fucking whole bunch of bananas. I couldn't think of another word that had the impact I wanted. I feel really terrible.
Remember when men were men and they would eat entire bunches of bananas?
Oh, yeah. Like Jack LaLanne days, they just squeeze them all out in a blender and just blend it and just fucking drink it while they were bench pressing their wives.
John now Wayne wouldn't eat just one banana, let me tell you.
Everyone's all hyper PC now, and they're scared about eating them in public because they don't want to offend people who like giving blowjobs.
No, I think they just want to avoid like people being gross to them,
or people slipping. That was a big problem for a while.
Have you ever seen that happen?
I've tried to make it happen several times, and it just makes the floor gross.
Yeah, I feel like a banana has too much traction.
Yeah, they're not that slippery.
Only one side is slippery. If you like folded it over and stapled it, and then placed it perfectly in a footpath.
Well, there you go, Harry. Next time.
All right, can I borrow some staples?
You put some thought into this.
Harry comes up with inventive shit like that.
What did I say when I was on drugs? Harry was the comedic mind of our generation.
Yeah, one day that'll shine through in one of your podcasts.
I have good news for you. It already has.
That
anyway,
was the
so
test.
This first Queens of the Stone Age album
mm-hmm.
has that cover that like looks exactly like it came from the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it's from one of those bands that like nobody talks about, but they released like one really good album, like a Bulbous Creation.
I don't know what that is.
They were a band that released one album.
No, you know what's a Bulbous Creation?
It's really good. Is this gonna do with a penis?
No, I was talking about onions, actually.
That makes more sense.
God, get your mind out of the gutter.
You're disgusting, Caroline.
Let's be professionals here.
Anyway, what were you...
I was just saying.
Is that all that you had to say?
Kind of.
Okay. This album is a somewhat embryonic take on what Queens of the Stone Age would further develop. I do think they already have that distinctive like chug that
yes.
they have, you know, like, and I love that sound, the way those guitars like chug. It almost has kind of like a motoric beat behind it, you know. It's got the like,
like, it's a killer word.
Mm-hmm. Motoric.
Yeah.
What's your
huh?
I was thinking of the Sister Christian song and I made myself laugh. I'm sorry.
Is that what he's saying?
Motor Rick.
What's your price? That song is great.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if I think that song is great because of Boogie Nights or not, but
it,
I don't care.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
But no, he says Motorin. Mm.
Well, just, he should have said Motorik.
I don't think he knew what that is.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, everything is.
That's true.
My kind of thought on this album is that I really like the general sound of it a lot, but I don't totally feel like the songs are quite there yet.
No.
But I would listen to this album, like if somebody put this album on and we were just hanging out and being regular bros, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Straight chilling.
Sure. Straight chug.
I mean, it grooves, you know.
It does. Like,
it grooves through the whole thing. It chugs. It grooves and chugs. We'll say that. It also boils, and it cooks.
It cuts julienne fries.
It simmers. It sautés.
Whatever cooking terminology.
It separates. It measures.
You're getting too general. Come
okay,
on.
I'm sorry. I agree with you. The songs aren't terribly memorable, at least compared to later albums, where I think like the songs on their later albums are really colorful. You know,
yeah.
Like and you don't get that level of detail here. But I do think, like you were saying, just the sound of it is really great, and Avon is a great song. And I think Josh Homme is pretty much already there as a vocalist also. Like, he has... I love Josh Homme's voice, dude. Like, it's
a great falsetto.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. He's got good range. He's got sort of a menacing growl and
he's got perfect pitch.
I don't know about that, but...
I know. I'm just making a joke.
You know who shows up on Songs for the Deaf?
Dave Grohl.
Yes, Dave Grohl, but also...
I feel like I heard and then I forgot.
Dean Ween.
Really?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What song is he on?
I believe he's on Six Shooter, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's so cool. I love Dean Ween so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know that, of course.
Harry, do you have thoughts on this album?
Yeah, sorry, I'm sending a work email right now. Yes, I'm for it.
Pay fucking attention!
This is your job now.
All right, how much am I getting paid?
Money.
All right, get that Squarespace, dudes.
Mm-hmm.
No,
build that website, bro.
I think Avon's a good showing, like you said. If Only is a nice little, like, early single. I think it's a cool one.
Hmm.
How to Handle a Rope, sick song. Kind of drags. I don't know, man. Sorry. I'm trying to recover my way back to the conversation gracefully. It's okay. Not working.
All right. Well, this is their least essential album, I think.
Yeah.
So we can probably talk about Rated R next.
Dude, that...
It's got a killer
edgy,
opener.
Edgy.
It's edgy, is that what you said, Carolyn?
Rated R?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, if I saw this when I was 12. Whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Deadpool of albums.
Did you guys see Deadpool?
No.
That shit looks awful.
No interest.
Yes.
Why is everybody acting like that's funny?
I don't know, why everybody like Avatar? People are idiots.
People didn't like Avatar. Everybody just saw it.
That's true. Nobody liked Avatar.
Although there was, like, okay, I want to know what happened to... You saw all those news stories about the people that wanted to live in the Avatar world and, like, spent all their time and energy, like, on message boards talking about how badly they wanted to live on the Avatar world.
I didn't hear about that, but all right, that sounds hilarious.
I followed the story intensely.
Okay.
I want to know what those people were doing, especially with the lack of Avatar content in the past, 5 years.
Oh, just fucking bated breath this entire time.
I guess, because those other movies that are coming.
Are they still getting made?
Well, James Cameron said he's, like, devoting the rest of his fucking life to that shit.
Give up, man. Star Wars is already out. Like,
that's true. You know, Star Wars is going to be like the new Marvel now, where we're going to get like three of them a fucking year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I would prefer that, though. I think I like the Star Wars world better than... I still have not seen Force Awakens.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I as a kid was very into Star Wars, and so like I have a lot of affection for it, and I have a weird amount of knowledge about it, but I like haven't kept up with it.
Sure.
Yeah, Force Awakens is tough for me personally, because as a white male, there's no one for me to latch onto as me in this universe. So it's hard to connect. I don't really get it.
More like social justice wars.
Right. More like Justice Clarence Thomas wars.
Both of those things are absolutely true. Anyway, Rated R. This was kind of their breakthrough album in a way. I don't think it propelled them like on radio quite yet at this point, but like I definitely remember reading about them in magazines and shit when this album came out. And it's very good.
It's very good.
Yes. Harry.
Nicotine, Valium, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
See, how much?
What's funny?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I listened to a couple weeks ago Josh Homme's episode on Marc Maron, and he would talk about how they would actually just go out to the desert and just take drugs for days at a time when they would write songs back then.
Sure. They were like, young men. They could do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like back in the Queen's days? Or?
Yeah, the early Queen's days. This song. You know.
There's no desert in Queens.
Nope. Caroline.
Yeah, it's Scorpion King, not Scorpion Queen.
Right.
God
damn also, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, guys.
So Feel Good Hit of the Summer should be taken literally, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
They did all of those drugs.
It's not a metaphor.
See,
what would it be a metaphor?
It's literally a checklist.
I thought I had read something where he said that the song was basically a joke.
Well, it could be a joke.
Maybe it is a joke, but we're also seriously doing drugs.
I mean, it's a it's a funny song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's got a sweet riff.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's funny. Don't say tasty riff.
Tasty riff.
Don't say tasty riff. I guess.
Oh.
All right. Delicious licks. Delicious licks.
Okay, I take it back.
That's way better. That's much better. Thank you, Harry.
All right, cool. You can use that.
So yeah, Feel Good Hit of the Summer, pretty much instant classic, I think.
Yep.
Definitely a fun song to sing along with. Lots of other good songs on this album, too. Lost Art of Keeping a Secret.
Classic.
Sure.
Monsters in the Parasol.
Oh, yeah.
Having a Friend Named Paul makes it even funnier.
Leg of Lamb. A weird angular little thing.
You love them angular songs.
I love them angular little things. That's
what's funny is Lost Art of Keeping a Secret is the only Queen song on my corporate radio at work.
Is that right?
Yeah,
really?
Almost hidden gem.
Man, they didn't put, like, No One Knows or Go With The Flow or something?
Yeah, I'm surprised it was not Go With The Flow.
Yeah.
What other songs they play at work? They play any Foo Fighters?
Yes.
If they get you that Best of You?
God, I wish.
Yeah, you have to listen to all the Foo Fighters songs that are worse than Best of You.
Which is all of them. All I can think about now, whenever I think of the Foo Fighters, is just Paige, drunk as shit, yelling at you to name a better song, period, than Best of You.
Well, was she wrong?
No.
Exactly.
Couldn't find one.
All right, folks, I know the Foo Fighters are bad, but just, like, go to Spotify, turn your stereo up really loud, and play Best of You, and tell me that isn't the greatest song ever written. It's
with
great.
With the best lyrics in American Letters.
That's right.
Here's an unrelated thing.
Okay.
I gotta go to the bathroom, because I've been pounding coffee.
Okay.
I know, right?
All
right,
go.
Well, we'll keep them fires burning.
Just talk amongst yourselves. I'll catch up.
All right. Was that his Marky Ramone impression?
I never know what Harry's on to. All
right. Well, this album is also significant for the presence of Mark Lanegan.
That's true.
Who you might know, who I knew from his performance on the Earth album, Primitive and Deadly.
Oh.
And I was like, where do I know this? Like, because I was listening to this, and I was like, who is that guy? He sounds so familiar. And then I looked up Mark Lanegan, and I was like, oh, he was on Primitive and Deadly.
See, I've always known him from Screaming Trees, but I've never actually listened to Screaming Trees. I just know, like, oh yeah, Mark Lanegan's the guy from Screaming Trees.
They do have a really cool name.
That is a pretty cool name. You're right. Have you ever listened to them?
No. Nah. Mm. No, nah, but they're like part of the like original grunge scene.
Yeah.
Like Mudhoney and so on.
Right.
Which I'm not like super into that stuff, so.
Well, you know.
I just really like the Melvins.
It's not the goddamn 90s anymore.
That's right. It's not the 90s anymore, everybody. So cut the shit.
Look, we're all true 90s kids here.
Sure.
But you gotta let it go.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a new age.
Your childhood wasn't that cool.
No! And, like, everything... The only reason that your childhood was so good is that you didn't know what taxes were.
Yeah, that's the worst part of being an adult.
Yes, taxes.
It's all the goddamn taxes.
All these taxes, bruh.
Sound like my dad.
Can't believe I gotta pay these taxes.
Do you like this album, Caroline?
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on it in particular?
Other than like it, I like I Think I Lost My Headache a lot. Mm. Like I like those like long ending tracks.
Yeah, sure.
That just like, you know, keep you going and get a groove and just ride it. I like that shit.
It's true. And it's got horns.
It's got horns.
The first of two album closers with a bomb horn section added to it. Which I appreciate.
Do you mean in their catalog or like in general?
I mean in their catalog.
Because I was going to talk about a little song called Sex Bomb. Oh. Which I'm pretty sure you've heard.
Well, I guess that has a horn section. It's only like two, though.
Yeah, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not important.
I guess. So that's all you have to say about this album?
I guess. I mean, I haven't listened to it enough times to really get deep into it. Start deconstructing shit.
You know something else about Queens of the Stone Age?
What?
Their music is sexy. You know?
All right.
It's sultry. Kind of grooves. It's got a little bit of a swagger to it.
Oh, okay.
You won't hear that? Is it too male for you?
I guess. It's not really doing it for me, but if it does it for you, that's fine.
Fair enough. My friend Kalina was, like, in love with Josh Homme in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, she was all about him.
Let me take a look at this guy.
I mean, he was pretty fine back in the 2000s.
He looks like a goober.
Then again, she was also in love with, what was his name from Korn? Jonathan Davis?
With the dreadlocks?
Yeah, dude.
Well, is she okay?
To be fair, she was like 14.
Yeah, that's true. And also, when I was like 15, I was in love with Trey Anastasio from Fish. In my defense, I really grew out of it.
Sure. Well, he does radiate pure sensuality after all. Sure.
I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me. It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to think what else I have to say about this album. This is a contemporary 2000s hard rock album.
Yeah, I think that America needed, like, a return to just good old meat and potatoes hard rock, probably.
Sure. But, and if you don't care for that kind of music, this probably isn't going to do a whole lot for you. But,
yeah. But if you do...
I do think it is a particularly inspired take on that kind of music. The songs are, I think, quirky and more colorful than bands of their ilk. The guitars are a lot cooler sounding.
What are some bands that you would compare them to?
Well, I guess I'm thinking like their contemporaries, like on the radio at the time. You know, when Queens was popular, it was fucking like Stained and
oh boy,
Puddle of Mud and
Godsmack,
sure. As far as like their contemporaries in the mainstream, I don't think or as far as who I would compare them to, probably nobody really from their time, or at least, you know, in the played on the radio at the time.
Yeah, go all time. Who would you compare
them? I would compare them to other sort of stonery rock bands, probably. Like, they're like Sleep, but they write songs. And
that's true. Sleep did only write one song.
And they're, you know, like Electric Wizard and fucking
Slipknot.
Sure,
Slipknot.
Yeah, I basically would say if Sleep was a pop band,
they
Queens
exactly.
of the Stone Age.
And like Caius, I mean, it definitely doesn't sound dissimilar from Caius.
No,
but I think it's definitely like a much like more melodic and like accessible take on those sort of bands' sound.
Yeah, and I think that they take that sound, do different things with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and this is a diverse album, Rated R is. Like, it covers a variety of tones and moods and
mm-hmm.
feelings, and it's a really good album. Harry, do you have a favorite song on this album?
On this album?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Better Living Through Chemistry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song.
That sick part where it kind of fades and it goes between the headphones.
For sure.
Yeah, it's like that part in what's that fucking Led Zeppelin song? I mean, it's like all of them. They all have that part. I think I'm thinking of Whole Lot of Love.
Oh, you mean the part that's all like the middle part where it's like bongos for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the better song, in my opinion, What Is and What Should Never Be.
Mm-hmm.
That has a part like
that's
that.
Got the part in the middle that's like ban out, ban out,
ban out,
ban out, ban out, ban out, out.
Yeah.
So does the Pink Panther theme in the middle?
Yes, it's exactly that. They just go through the whole thing.
Yep. Peter Mancini.
Yeah. He was the dude for a while there.
He was definitely the dude.
Peter Mancini.
Did you guys ever notice that Dire Maker is the worst song ever recorded?
It really is. It's really bad.
I fucking hate that song.
I, like, that's the thing about Led Zeppelin, is they have songs that I really fucking love, but I could never call myself a Led Zeppelin fan just because they have so many songs that are terrible. I am actually, I looked down, I am wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you owned a Led Zeppelin t-shirt.
Yeah, it's like an extra large, so I sleep in it. Mm. I came home from work and I didn't want to put on like good clothes, so I just put on my Led Zeppelin t-shirt and my pajama pants.
Fair enough. anyway, I guess we could talk about. I don't feel like we're doing a very good job today, but let's.
You never feel like that.
I've definitely had episodes I felt like we were doing better than this one.
I'm sorry.
You can't say that while it's happening.
All right, I'm sorry.
You'll say that.
I'm sorry to everybody.
You can't say that.
I'm sorry to the audience. I'm sorry to Harry. I'm sorry even to you, Caroline.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yes. Okay, so Songs for the Deaf. I think this one generally is considered to be the best Queens of the Stone Age album.
It has a stupid gimmick, though.
You don't.
I like the gimmick.
The radio.
I don't like it. I like the songs on this album, but I don't like the gimmick. I just think it's because I don't want to listen to those people doing like a joke version of those DJs because I don't want to listen to those DJs like in the first place.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get like they're doing kind of like a Who Sell Out kind of thing, but I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, what's kind of cool is like apparently if you track like the geography, he's like of the different cities that the radio stations are coming from. It's like you're driving up north through California or something.
Oh, it actually lines up.
Yeah,
that's neato.
Yeah. I've never been to California. What's that going to do for me?
Well, it's cool if you know that.
I guess. I think it's interesting. One of the radio DJs was, of course, Black Dahlia of the Dwarves, who Josh Homme like beat the shit out of one time.
Before or after this?
I don't know, but it happened.
I didn't hear about that.
He went like Jack White on Von Bondi's like, on this dude.
Did we just talk about that recently? Jack White beating the shit out of... Yeah. I think I brought it up with both of you.
Up.
Yeah, dude. Harry, did you look up that picture of fucking the guy from the Von Bondi's?
I didn't. No.
It's incredible.
Fucked him up. It was like he was wearing like brass knuckles or something.
Yeah. He had to go to anger management after that, and he probably should have.
I don't even know what happened.
I don't think the source of the argument is known. Just the outcome.
Did the Von Bondi's guy say, like, hey, man, the 30s are over?
Howlin' Wolf wasn't that great.
Yeah, that was the 50s, Jeff.
Well, whatever, same thing.
But, yeah, and I don't know why you would beat up the guy from the Dwarves, because, like, I don't know, have you heard Backseat of My Car? That song is great.
Have you heard Let's Fuck by the Dwarves?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
It's a great song to put on a mixtape.
Yep. Because it's only a minute long.
That's right. If you gotta beef out that runtime on that mixtape, put that on there, you're good to go.
So, Harry, Songs for the Deaf.
It is for you.
Good, good, very good.
Yeah, I referenced the thing we're talking about.
That's right.
I'm a real music critic.
Dude, did you know, Jeff?
What?
That the intro to Song for the Dead, the drum rhythm that takes off after the intro is lifted directly from the Black Flag song Slip It In.
No.
How cool is that? Because I know that I think both of our favorite Black Flag song is Slip It In.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting.
Well, I've just never caught that before. At the beginning of Song for the Dead?
Yeah, like at the end of like the solo in the very beginning. I'm going to have to listen to it again to see if I pick up on it, because I definitely did not.
Okay.
But I read that, and that excited me.
This thing is like just a slab of hot rock and roll. just an hour of...
It's boiling in the desert sun.
In the desert sun. That's a good way of putting it.
This podcast episode is just a vehicle for us to like talk stupidly about rock music.
Isn't that what we always do?
No, but in a different way.
Alright. You mean like really stupid?
Yeah, like saying it's a hot slab of tasty riffs. I mean, it is, but
sticky fingers.
I'm glad Harry brought up the desert because you really can hear like the desert vibe off of this album in particular. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
These riffs just like sound like fucking hot orange sun, like baking off of fucking sand and going right into your eyes and brain.
You guys ever been to the desert?
There's definitely lizards. I've been to the areas surrounding Las Vegas, which is pretty desert-like.
See, I've never been to a desert, and since I was a child, I've felt a real draw toward the desert. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm terrified of the desert.
I'm gonna, I guess, maybe when I'm old, I'm gonna go to the desert and just die out there. What are you doing?
You've been doing your shit the entire time.
What are you doing?
It's just all these background noises, man.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you, I was drinking a lot of coffee. I got the fidgets.
Banging stuff?
He's just banging stuff directly into the microphone.
Bashing the microphone on various
Can you
things.
Find a thing to do to fidget with that's quieter?
I'm going to tell you, Caroline, straight up, I could not.
Okay.
Just going to have to deal
with it. I'm going to do some of this.
What is that?
You know, got the rock and roll in me.
This is like listening to Stomp.
Oh, found a fortune cookie.
Harry, put on a radio play for us.
Radio play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I need Dateline Chicago. Hey, here we come walking down the walking. Hey, what's up? Pizza pie over here. Got the hot cannolis. Oh no, my cannolis, she's melted. Now I got the sticky fingers. Oh dear. Oh my. Oh yeah.
That reminds me. I watched the Mario Brothers movie.
You really painted a picture for me.
Mm-hmm, as long as I get my coffee.
What were you saying, Caroline?
Did I watch the Mario Brothers movie yesterday?
Classic.
Yeah.
That's good cinema.
It's got Richard Edson in it.
Speaking of lizards.
Yeah. I don't know why lizards were such a huge part of that movie.
Because it's a huge part of the video game.
Not to that degree, though. I think mushrooms are a much bigger part of that video game.
Well, there's fungus.
Yeah, they took that to the gross level.
Yeah, that's true. I just appreciated Bob Hoskins' performance, where he just seemed tired of all this shit, like, as Mario. He didn't want to do any of it, and, like, Mario in the game is, like, up for fucking anything. And Bob Hoskins is just like, I don't want to go to this other dimension.
No, when Bob Hoskins was on, like, his deathbed, he had dementia and shit, he said that was his one regret in life.
Really?
That movie. Yeah.
He has said that that was one of the worst experiences he ever had. And he and John Leguizamo would just go after work, just go and get fucking loaded.
Oh, I wanna get loaded with Leguizamo.
I know.
That should be a web series.
Getting loaded with Leguizamo.
With Jerry Seinfeld.
It'll be like comedians in cars getting coffee.
Exactly.
Have you guys ever watched that shit?
No.
It's not good.
Okay. But back to Songs for the Deaf.
Yeah.
Like I said, hot slab rock and roll.
Sure.
Desert guitars. Fucking pretty much in full rock and roll mode for the entire thing, except for the end. Like, this is definitely, heavy riffing through the whole thing.
Yeah, they lay it on you, right quick with You Think I Ain't Worth a Dollar.
Oh, yeah.
That song.
Comes out hard.
Just kicks.
Just a fucking rocking balls out screamer right at the beginning there.
Give me some more. Give me some.
Sure.
Appetizing.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
A little taste for what's to come.
Mouth candy.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth candy? No, ear candy.
Mouth candy.
Ah.
So it's just candy.
Yeah, yeah, that's what candy is.
Fair enough.
Mouth candy.
You got me.
Dean Wein also plays on Gonna Leave You and Mosquito Song, apparently.
Hell yeah.
So
that's why Gonna Leave You... That's why I like that song so much, I guess.
Gonna Leave You rules, dude.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does.
That's a song in particular where the guitars sound amazing. Like, they sort of, like, sway back and forth through the whole song, and it's a really cool effect. I'm not quite sure how they get it. But that's one of the big, like, chugging songs, definitely, yeah, on this
they
album.
They do a lot of, like, they just do a lot of guitar stuff that, like, is just really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how, like, learned it is or anything, but it just sounds really good and sounds really interesting.
Mouth-watering.
It's like mouth candy.
Yeah,
it's like mouth candy for your mouth.
It's exactly like mouth candy.
Harry, what are your favorite tracks on this beast?
On this, well, you know the amount of times we have listened to "Go with the Flow" while drunk.
Sure, sure.
Because it's got that sweet one note piano.
Oh yeah. In the style of "I Want to Be Your Dog," you get that.
Not
one?
Enough yeah. bands are doing the one note, the one piano note, and I really appreciate that they go with it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't overuse it; it's too much power.
Yeah, it's powerful. It works, dude.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go with the flow. Another song that chugs.
It's a chugger.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What's another good one? Another love song is a good one
for sure.
That
yeah,
you know how it goes. Like,
right, right.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think there's really a weak track on this.
I guess
I would agree with that pretty much.
That's probably true. Do It Again, I can do without.
Yeah,
it's just not as good as the Steely Dan song.
Of course.
Well, not. What is? I
right,
know.
Right.
Well, any Dire Straits song.
Oh,
that's the hierarchy. Dire Straits, Steely Dan, Queens of the Stone Age.
Everything yep. else.
The three, yeah, the three greatest bands of all time.
The three bands that defined rock music.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Them plus Korn and D12.
D12, really pulling that out.
He said
yeah.
D12.
You know, okay, D12. I got a real problem because, like, these chicks don't even know the name of my band. Tuba Stank and the Blowfish, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, they heard the news.
And they're all on me like they want to hold hands, which... I love that line. It's so fucking stupid. Who else was in D12? It was Eminem.
Bizarre,
okay.
Froggy, I think was that his... No, Froggy wasn't in... Proof. Proof was the one that died. Proof was the one that died. Bizarre was the fat one.
Sure. That's the one I remember then.
Yeah. And with the deep voice.
Yeah.
And then who gives a fuck about the other three?
There were three other people?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's 12 of them.
They're the dirty half dozen, but that doesn't sound as cool, so.
No.
Yeah. Marketing ploy. I get it. I see what they're doing. It's all layers of bullshit.
I guess.
I really love Hangin' Tree. Which, like, absolutely sounds like a fucking, like, dark-ass old Western song that they, like, made into a rock song. Like, it's so cool-sounding, and, like, the vocal on the track is really, like, just spooky, and, like, the guitar...
The drums are cool.
Yes, the guitar... The drums are great. It's in 5/4. Very odd time signature, throwing you off the whole time. Fucking, like, just peals of guitar feedback, like, squeaking by over and over
again. No, I like that.
Yes. Guitars are, like, nice and jittery through the whole thing, rather than chugging like they are in other parts. Millionaire, another song that chugs, by the way. Didn't mention that when we first mentioned Millionaire.
Mm.
No One Knows, the big single off of this album. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Not one of the better songs, I know.
Of the singles, I would say "Go with the Flow" is better.
Oh yeah, me too.
But it was like a really cool non-traditional like radio hit. Like it didn't sound like the other songs that were at the time.
Sure. Yeah, and this was This is 2002.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is before I, like, 2004, I spent my whole summer watching VH1. Because I had basic cable and I had to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that was the year of, like, the one good Franz Ferdinand song.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, that shit blew me away.
I guess no one knows. That was freshman year of high school. I remember reading a lot about this album when it came out. And, like, the fact that Dave Grohl plays on it was, like, that was a big deal, you know?
Yeah,
that was before you could find Dave Grohl in, like, every band at some point.
Every rock documentary.
He played on a Killing Joke album.
Which one?
Really?
The self-titled one from the 2000s.
Oh, he didn't play on the self-titled one from, like, 1978?
No. He was a child.
That would have been cool if they had a little kid drummer.
Sure.
But they didn't.
You know, I specifically remember No One Knows bumping on the radio on my way to see a little film called Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah.
And I was living the high life at that time. Like, it didn't get any better. You had this great movie that didn't suck in any way.
Did you like it at the time?
I convinced myself it was great. I mean,
I think I tried to say that I liked Episode II when it came out also, but...
Yeah, and then I remember people, like, when Phantom Menace came out, people would be like, it was good, guys, come on. Like, everybody knew it was awful, but they were trying really hard.
I wasn't. I was so into it. I had all the Taco Bell toys.
I was into it, like, 9 years old when it came out. But then, like, Attack of the Clones came out, and it was kind of the same thing. And then people, Revenge of the Sith came out, and everybody was like, no, guys, this one is actually the good one. And I gotta tell you, I watched Revenge of the Sith because I had the We Hate Movies guys did a commentary for it, so I watched it. It's terrible. It's god fucking awful.
I'd say Attack of the Clones is the worst of the bunch.
It's so long.
The only redeeming factor is that one fucking seismic charge that goes like, wow. It's fucking sweet.
You know the one.
I do like seeing Jimmy Smits just one. Like rolling around in his cool convertible.
Oh, that's in the third one.
No, it's in both.
Where he, like, sees the fucking kid get shot down. He's like, no, the kid.
No, that's in the third one, but he's in both of them.
Do you know in the video game for Revenge of the Sith, there's a whole level where you just slaughter Jedi apprentices?
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's fucking sweet. You, like, hold them up, and you can, like, force choke them and throw them around.
Children?
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
That sounds so amazing.
Can I mention one more thing about Songs for the Deaf?
Yes.
From the semi-titular... song for the deaf.
Uh-huh.
It's got one of the best parts of the album where it goes like wee 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 wee. That's one of the best. And that little like breakdown in the middle where he's like, I can go get fucked.
Is that why you think this is sexy music? Because he just lays it out there for you like that?
I mean, he does sound pretty gruff and cool on that part, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
That wasn't what I was referring to specifically. Harry knows what I'm talking about. Like, Queens can be very sultry at times.
Oh, know? Yeah, like Bake It With You?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a banging song. That's a sexy-ass song, for sure.
Well, that
try to set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta ask you guys, have you ever done that and has it worked?
I've tried it.
I've never had anything work, so.
Oh, Harry.
That's not what they're not saying.
What?
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 I don't have a stereo in my bedroom, so, like, I can't. So
you can't put on those fuck jams?
That's just not a part of it, you know? You
can't just play it out your phone speaker?
I guess I could, but
maybe split the earbuds.
I don't know how well that would set the mood.
I see kind of like the putting on music to fuck to. That seems like really kind of like gauche.
Apparently, a lot of people do it.
It seems so weird. It's like no, hold on, I gotta put this track on.
Hmm.
Seems like you just have to like try to keep the rhythm. You're like, oh, why'd I put Russia on?
See,
Russ makes everyone.
I accidentally put on yes before I answered.
No, and then I would be like, no, hold on, you gotta listen to this part where it goes doo, 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 doo. And then I would just sit there for like 8 minutes while that one part just keeps going.
Build the tension.
But then everyone will be nice and aroused by the end of it, though. So.
Sure. What's more arousing than the vocals of John Anderson? The sexiest man to ever live.
All right, wait. One more thing before we move on to lullabies. Mosquito Song rules.
Yeah.
Mosquito Song's pretty good.
Mosquito Song rules.
And it sets up the title for the next album.
Does it?
Yeah, what? They say the line, lullabies to paralyze.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I never noticed that, actually.
Well, he does.
But, yeah, like I said before, horns. Those horns are badass. And they really pump up the song.
They pump up the volume.
And they do.
Like the movie.
That's right. Anyway, let's talk about Lullabies Paralyze.
I don't like this one as much.
It tends to be seen as a disappointment after Songs for the Deaf.
I think it's like a little ambitious, like how polished it is.
Yeah.
But I like it.
I don't dislike it at all. I just like I don't think it's as good as what came before it.
It's really solid, I think. Like
yeah.
I don't really get quite why people were so let down by it. Like
I'll tell you why. Okay. Coming from me, I don't want to listen to slow songs.
I guess that's true. It's not as propulsive, I guess.
It's not as rockin'.
Everybody knows that You're Insane is a chugger.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in the chorus, not so much in the verse.
Well, you can't have it all. I think the last two tracks are probably the best, though.
Yeah.
Skin on Skin and Broken Box.
For sure.
Skin on Skin, there you go.
Those aren't the last two songs.
Well, the other two bonus tracks.
Long Slow Goodbye. I think Long Slow Goodbye is the last like song on the album. The new bonus tracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I guess that's true. This isn't quite as ferocious as Songs for the Deaf is, which really just like kicks your ass for a solid hour, you know. But I guess it's got a couple boring songs in it. But I think I kind of think all of Queen's albums have a couple boring songs on it.
They're just kind of long for the most part.
Yeah.
But they like usually it's like they just hit a groove where you don't mind it, even if like some of the songs in the middle are not quite as good, you just don't mind the sound of it anyway.
Sure, you're so zonked out on grass.
Yeah.
just grooving.
I mean, there's not like they have no songs that I find like offensive in any way where I'm like, turn this shit off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like and they're all good enough.
That's probably true, actually. Like Queens is a band that I do just kind of like the sound a lot, and I can just kind of, you know, zonk out to it.
Yeah, which is kind of how I feel about most, like, stoner rock that I've listened to. It's like, I just like the, like, with Sleep, I mean, I know that they're kind of boring, but I just really like the sound.
I guess, like this album has Tangled Up in Plaid, which I think is a little, that always sort of, like, trips me up toward the beginning.
Cause I've been there, man.
Tangled Up in Plaid.
That's what we call it.
Yeah. I thought you called it Making Coffee.
No, that's literally just Making Coffee.
Oh. This whole time I thought about fucking.
Yeah, I was really like posturing and trying to do
grinding beads.
Kind of dick swinging thing and it didn't work.
Grinding beads.
You know what I'm saying? That half and half?
God. Get a little cream in there.
I do not like cream in coffee.
Really?
No, it's got to be black coffee or nothing.
You don't like sugar in the raw?
That's sugar that comes from a plantation in Hawaii, right?
I don't like to use such racist terms, I guess.
Hawaii,
yeah, God. Sorry.
I don't see people as Hawaiians, kind of mind.
I see them as background characters from Lilo and Stitch.
Not the main character of Lilo and Stitch.
No, she was white in my mind. you gotta relate, you know?
I guess.
Like kids.
Lilo is blue.
Obama means
That's
family.
Stitch.
Oh, yeah. Lilo.
Lilo's the girl.
Lilo's Hawaiian, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave her like a...
She's like, just a little girl. It's not a typecaster.
Give her one of those big Hawaiian noses. Pineapple smelling.
All right, you need to stop.
All right, let's new fresh racism.
Let's not go down these roads. Okay. Yeah, Little Sister. How about that one?
That's classic. The song from this album.
That is the song from this album, sure. You gotta love that cowbell, right? Mm-hmm. Or not cowbell, woodblock.
Woodblock.
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
This isn't Blue Oyster Cult.
Although they could use a little more cowbell.
Yeah.
Couldn't we all?
Couldn't we all? Woodblock on Little Sister, loving those bass lines on Little Sister. Like, that's a song that just, like, the tone of it contributes so much, you know? Like,
oh yeah, the bass is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Plus that where now
and the ending, the like nano 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 nano.
Yeah, no wonder this is the biggest hit in music history.
It's not their biggest hit. I think No One Knows is still their biggest hit, as far as... It seems like that's the one that got the most airplay at the time, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Got the most Jefferson airplay.
The most Jefferson airplay. But that's not the only good song on this album.
Sure.
Everybody Knows That You Are Insane.
Classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
A chugger, like you said. Also a chugger, Medication. A kick-ass little punk tune at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you need them.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a nice little jolt of beans before before the rest of the album.
Like that coffee.
Uh-huh. Burn the Witch.
A sexy
song.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was sexy. I thought it was scary because I don't want to burn witches.
Why not?
Because
it's a metaphor.
For what?
It's fucking.
Fucking.
Just fucking American style.
Puritan style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that is a really good song, but I didn't think it was sexy because I didn't like the subject matter. I think you should leave witches alone.
But it grooves, man.
No, it really does. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. What else, Harry?
I think we've talked about every song.
Yes, we've talked about every single song. It has five songs on it.
I like Someone's in the Wolf a lot. Also.
Someone's in the Wolf is good.
Yes. An epic. Maybe a tad long, but you know what?
They've earned it.
Come on. It grooves out.
It's fine.
So glad.
You know what? This album is really good. I'm looking at this track list and, like, honestly, Tangled Up in Plaid is the only one that doesn't do a lot for me. Like, the rest of this is pretty fucking great. I don't know what people were complaining about.
Probably just
people are going to crank
it up in Plaid, I guess.
You think they just got to song four and they're like, this album sucks?
No, but sometimes, like, one song really colors your perception of the rest of the album.
I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, that definitely happens to me. Usually I'll think an album is better on the strength of one song. And then I'll go back to it and I'm like, oh, just that one song was good.
Yeah, I, I guess maybe just because it's less intense than Songs for the Deaf, which, like, really has momentum, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's a song that's, like, almost always in a pretty high gear throughout the whole thing, whereas this one has some, you know, sort of slower, groovier tracks to it, I guess.
You gotta calm down once in a while.
Yeah, sure. But I think this is really good. I think people are doing themselves a disservice by not listening to it as much.
Come on, people, get your shit together.
For real. And speaking of albums that people are doing a disservice to...
Aero Vulgaris.
What the fuck is wrong with... Aero Vulgaris is really good.
I really like this album.
I do not get... This album, it got...
Do people not like this one?
No, they don't. Like, it's by far their least well-liked album.
Well, there's some people that...
It's really good.
Yeah. I mean, sure, every album gets some positive reviews, but definitely, like, fan consensus and critical consensus was a lot harsher on this album.
I mean, I guess it's just because it does not sound the way that the rest of their song, like, yeah, the rest of their albums sound, but it has a sound that's really, really good that they pull off really well.
Yeah, it's a lot more psychedelic sounding overall, and
yeah.
Definitely a lot less metal than their previous records.
Well, you know, people are about that.
Yeah. But I again, I have to talk about Guitar Tone. There's all kinds of strange-ass guitar sounds, like, all over this album. This is their most diverse mm-hmm. album.
Mm-hmm. On 666, they have that, like, Casio guitar.
The one that's like,
yeah, yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fucking cool. Turning on the screw, which just has... It has the section in the middle where the guitar is doing this, like, nauseous, like, wave back and
yes.
forth. So, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's so
whoa.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like, an I'm Designer has these weird broken chords just, like, going through the whole... Bow, 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 bow. I mean... This album's really diverse. Like,
the songs
it's
are
their
just
most
really
diverse
good.
Album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of fuck songs, we mentioned "Make It With You" earlier. Like,
that's a fuck song.
That is a fuck song.
They lay it.
Sure.
They lay it out there.
Oh yeah, and that's. You
Did
know,
you know that the original version of the song had PJ Harvey on backing vocals?
Yeah, the Desert Sessions version, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Apparently, also, I see a songwriting credit for Melchiondo on "Make It With You."
We know what that means.
Dean Ween.
The dude himself.
Popping his head up again.
Sure.
Yeah. That song is great. Fucking, yeah. And this is definitely some of their strangest material, too.
Yes. I think that's why I like this so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it does get, like, a lot weirder than they usually let themselves get.
God, this album is good. I think this is my favorite Queens of the Stone Age album.
Yeah, like, when I was listening to him this week, I was like, this is their best one. Like, mm-hmm. I just
would
really,
you agree,
really
Harry?
Like it.
I'd say this or Songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all songs, Harry.
Oh, I've been looking at this whole way. That's why I keep eating these mouth candy. I've just been printing out the tab and eating it.
I've not done a tally, but I know that if I did, it would come out that I eat candy every single day.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of candy do you like?
I like a good chocolate bar, man.
Sure.
Do you consider
I eat them every day. No wonder I'm so disgusting.
What were you about to say, Harry?
Something along the lines of muffins.
Like, muffins?
Do you consider, like, chocolate chip muffins or muffins wherein there's chocolate to be a candy?
No.
No?
No, candy
That's
is, like...
good.
Yeah, candy is, like, extruded in a factory. You get it in a vending machine.
They get it out of the candy ore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In the big rock candy mountains. Well, that's cool. You know what I've rediscovered recently?
What?
They were my favorite candy when I was a kid, and then I didn't eat them for like 10 years.
What?
Twizzlers.
Oh, no, I don't like... I don't
Twizzlers
like
are kind of gross.
Oh, my God. You both are completely wrong.
Twizzlers taste every time like the package has been opened and then it sat there for 6 months.
Dude, you're kind of right.
It's a classic candy, all right? It's not, like, super sweet.
It
like,
doesn't make it good.
All right, Grandpa. Like,
you know, got some now and laters in your pocket, too?
Well, you know what?
Pennies?
Maybe when you guys hit puberty, you'll understand.
I'm never going to grow up.
What else is good on this album?
Dude, the drums on Run, Pig, Run.
Yeah.
Run, Pig, Run is so good.
Run, Pig, Run, like, slays. That's probably, like, the big metal moment on this album, actually.
Yes.
Like, Run, Pig, Run. That's maybe the best song on this album, actually.
I would say like, so, yeah.
It rules.
Yeah. You know what I don't appreciate that, or appreciate, is when, what's the River in the Road, mm-hmm. you put sirens in the song. You never put fucking police sirens in a song.
Yeah.
It's annoying shit when you're driving.
Yeah, it freaks you out.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. River in the Road's a cool song, though, just because like, it has a really strange chord progression that like makes it sound really tense through the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
It has this weird tension to the song that never lets up.
I like a weird chord progression.
Sure. We've all been there. Into the Hollow, an absolutely beautiful ballad.
Yeah.
With these great interlocking guitar lines and beautiful harmonies from Josh Homme and whoever the fuck is singing with him.
Whoever happens to be around him.
I have no idea. I mean, they are kind of a like revolving door sort of lineup for the most part, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like,
he said he doesn't like working with people too closely or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. So he just kind of has whoever's around at the time, I think, to play on these songs.
Is he a dick?
Josh Homme?
Yeah.
You think that's why it's a revolving door kind of lineup? Well, I remember Nick Oliveri, he like fired Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age, and like that was like
his old buddy, right?
Yeah, that was news, I'm pretty sure. Like, I remember like reading about that.
Was Kurt Loder like reporting on that?
Is Kurt Loder still a thing?
I mean, he's alive. I don't know what he's doing.
He's still a thing, though.
Well, we're all a thing.
Yeah. Oh my God, Caroline, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I gotta look that up. If he's still on MTV, I would be surprised if he was.
Accessing the firewall. He's still active.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still around. He's still on MTV.
Yeah.
He's also a libertarian.
Oh my God, he was in Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows.
Which was directed by one of the dudes from the Paradise Lost documentaries.
Holy shit, he was also in an episode of Kenan and Kel. This guy is running Hollywood.
Kurt
Loder was in Kenan and Kel.
Oh, and he's a libertarian. I'm done with him.
Dude, isn't Josh Homme a libertarian too?
Probably. But you know who I found out was a libertarian that bugged me out?
Buzz Osborne?
No.
Ron Paul?
No. Yes. But also, Big Boy from Outkast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is. Yeah.
And there's an interview with him where he talks about voting for Gary Johnson in fucking 2012.
He was the only one.
But I don't know. That just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot that, because I knew that he was. I forgot about it.
Yeah, Big Boy voted for Gary Johnson.
Well, somebody had to.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, besides the lovely Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I guess she must have voted for
him.
Yeah,
you gotta get that mom vote.
I guess if you're married or a parent of a person running for president, you are kind of obligated.
Yeah, maybe.
But they won't. If you don't.
What's it?
They wouldn't know. If you didn't, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, but you would be a liar if you told them otherwise.
Yeah, so what?
You can't have that in politics.
Well, this is personal relations. This isn't just politics anymore. Anyway. Sure. I like Misfit Love a lot, too.
Yeah, cool. it's about getting with Jerry only.
Really?
No. Yes, it's a song that Josh Homme wrote about fucking Jerry only from the Misfits.
I don't know. I thought maybe that was in the Wikipedia article somewhere.
That's good. Don't want to fucking Jerry and other people.
Yeah.
It's definitely a song about fucking, though. You can just hear it in those guitars, man.
That's think that about every Queen to the Stone Age song.
Well, they're fuck music, man. What do you want from me?
I don't know. I didn't know they were fuck music.
Not all of it, but a lot.
This whole week, I had no idea. Just good time rock and roll.
Some of these songs are sultry as hell, man.
So you know it's a good song?
Huh.
Fucking Battery Acid.
Yeah.
I like Suture Up Your Future. I like that song.
Yeah. Cool bass
it's
on
that. It's
got a
cool
track.
Bass, yeah.
Yes. It's a groovy song, a mellow song for Queens.
Oh, you sure? Can still fuck to it.
You can fuck to it. I never
you can,
said you
more
could.
Of your tantric.
Okay, if you have a will and a dream, you can fuck to anything.
That's true.
There's probably a counter example here.
They might be giants.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Going to bring back to Angels and Airwaves. I guess there's a lot of teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, people are fucking to Angels and Airwaves. I just can't imagine like trying to maintain like arousal with like John Linnell singing at me. You know?
Right, you're feeling such intense emotions. Like, how can you not be distracted?
Yeah, that's true. They Might Be Giants are a very emotional band.
In their own way.
Yeah. You ever hear They Need a Crane? That song's sad as fuck.
John Linnell has said that the chief subject of They Might Be Giants is existential despair.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. That in letters and numbers.
Is They Need a Crane a lament on the ending of the show Frasier?
Do you know that in one of my legal classes, we watch episodes of Frasier all the time to talk about contract disputes?
Really?
It's fucking awesome.
We really do.
It's a great professor.
I know.
He gets it, man. That guy gets it.
Mm. It's a lady, and she loves Frasier.
She gets it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Like Clockwork.
Yeah. People held this one as a return to form because they didn't like the last one, but that was stupid because the last one was great, mm-hmm. and this one is still good.
It's pretty good.
So don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
There's good songs, though.
There's definitely good songs.
I like My God Is the Sun.
That's a good one. I like Smooth Sailing a lot.
Smooth Sailing is cool because that's, I don't know, that's got like a really like eerie sort of groove to it that like... It grooves, but it's also like unsettling at the same time, which is a cool effect.
And it sounds like something that would fit in more with the era vulgaris sort of style.
Yeah, definitely. This is probably their mellowest album. Like, this is definitely the album that's furthest from like hard rock and metal.
Yeah, this is his like depressed era.
Is he depressed?
I don't know if it's depressed exactly.
Yeah, no, that's what he's talked about. He was in the hospital for so long and like died and came back or some shit. And like,
what was wrong with him?
He got a MRSA infection from just not taking care of himself. Yeah, and then like
he got MRSA just from straight up not taking care of himself.
Yep, just, like,
he must have been
hard,
not taking care of himself. My dad had MRSA. It was fucked up.
Yeah, it sounds pretty gross from everything I heard about it.
It's really bad. Like, my dad almost died. But
he should have written an album.
I've been saying. But, you know, it's not going to happen.
You know, I actually like the first song on this album best.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled.
It's fucking heavy.
I really love, again, here I'm talking about tone again, but the sound
they got good tone.
They have good tones. Like, that's one thing you can definitely say about Queens of the Stone Age, but I love the bass sound on that track. The, like, crawl it does at the end of each measure. That, like, like,
yeah,
so cool. And then just the, like, descending piano notes, like, throughout the verse. Like, it's a great, great song. Probably the best song on this album, I would say.
I like I Sat by the Ocean because I really like slide guitar.
That too, sure.
So, yeah, it's kind of a little happier.
I just really like slide guitar. You can put slide guitar on fucking anything, I'll listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like the new Darius Rucker album?
Sure. Does that got slide guitar on it? I'll listen to it.
I know. I was talking with my dad a couple years ago about how, like, no one's innovating the slide guitar really anymore. And he was like, well, you have to hear Darius Rucker's new album. He's doing neat things. And I was like, no, he's not. I don't even need to hear it. No, Darius Rucker is doing nothing neat.
Darius Rucker has not done a neat thing in his entire life.
Oh, my God. My friend who I hung out with, like, last weekend, she told me that when she was 4 years old, she met Darius Rucker at the airport.
Yeah.
Because she's a South Carolina native. Oh, and so yeah, there's a picture of her as a four-year-old child hanging out with Darius Rucker.
Are they from South Carolina?
Oh, hell yeah. Famous. Yeah. So.
Where?
Gamecocks. They're from Columbia.
Okay. Gamecocks.
Yeah, Columbia.
I hate that their team name is the Gamecocks because all of their fucking merchandise has cocks on it.
Yep.
Because that's funny.
How do you not giggle? Like, when you see a giant flag that says Cox on it.
If you see it, like, 50 million times.
Well, you have a stronger resolve than I do, Caroline.
I guess I do. But the first time you see it, it's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. It's unsettling. Like, you don't know what it's doing there. Like,
it really is unsettling.
You can't really tell it's a chicken. It's just some weird bird shape on top of it.
Yeah. Is there anything else about, like, Clockwork that we want to talk about?
I like that part at the end of I Appear Missing where it's like down, 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 down. You know?
I like the cover because it has a vampire on it.
That's true.
You know how I feel about vampires.
Yeah, I guess your form just came out recently. And I wouldn't exactly say it's disappointing because I think it's a solid piece of work.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's just I just really, really like their last album.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I haven't really listened to it since it came out. Like, I listened to it a couple times when it came out. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And then I just, like, never listened to it again. So
yeah.
So picking it up again, like, I kind of have much the same opinion. Like, I still really like it, but it just doesn't quite hit me in the spot that other Queens albums do, you know?
It has Elton John on it. Do the other Queens albums have that?
No.
What's Elton John on?
Fairweather Friends.
Oh, that neat.
I'll be damned.
I mean, it's not an Elton John song.
It's got Trent Reznor on it, too.
Wow.
On backing vocals.
Yeah.
So he just, like, got Trent, like, hey, you want to sing on this? I don't know why I made him semi-British when I said that.
But. Who were you doing, Elton John or Josh Homme?
I was doing Josh Homme.
Well, I hurt myself today.
Hi, mate. I'm Josh Homme.
Hey, you want to come around the desert, have a little dollary do on the Barbie? Have a laugh on the Dunny. I have a laugh on me as well.
That's what Josh Homme sounds like.
Drinking some Fosters.
But yeah, this album's pretty good, but it's not as good as Aero Vulgaris.
Yeah, so to sum it up, they are a very solid band.
Mm-hmm.
If you like hard rock music, you probably already listened to this band, unless you're me. But if you have it, you'll probably like them, because they're good.
You know, I think they were one of the best bands of the 2000s.
Sure.
I'll put that out there.
Okay.
Motion carried.
Yes. Don't fuck with Queens of the Stone Age. They were very consistently good.
Don't fuck with us. We're consistent.
But it is impressive, though. Like, they put out a run of six good to excellent albums. Like,
Yeah.
No real stinkers, like, and just quality. I mean, for a long, sustained period of time. That's a difficult thing to do. Not many bands do that. Not many bands put out 6 good albums in a row.
No, that's true.
You know?
I mean,
most of them don't even do one.
That's true.
Wow. Harry is really, like,
damn,
holding a mirror up to society.
Well, I'm drinking this Haterade over here.
too much Haterade.
Yeah, you gotta you know, Haterade in moderation. Mm-hmm.
So my final concluding thought on Queens of the Stone Age is give Ara Vulgaris another chance.
Yes, please.
Do it.
Don't be
it's
an
good, dude.
It's really good.
What's your problem, pal?
I don't get it. Like, what's people's beef?
Everybody just wants things to be the same.
I guess.
That's dumb.
I don't know. Like, there's lots of reviews that are like, man, I loved Rated R and Songs for the Deaf, but this fucking sucks.
And I'm like, I can't believe it. Even if you like, if you really, really like that one sound and you don't want him to change, I can't imagine you would think that album sucks.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, the songs are good. Like, even if you're not into that sound, like, they're good songs.
I mean,
but
I guess it is different sounding. So,
yeah, like, it's different, but it's not
sense,
like.
But
well, you know what?
It's not like
people,
they did a chiptune album.
I just tell those people to go suck an egg.
Yeah. It's true.
Sure, that'll show them.
Do we have any other final thoughts on Queens of the Stone Age?
No, just that they're good. I enjoyed listening to them this week.
All right. Hey,
Just grab a fat bag of grass and pick up Welcome to Sky Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's Caius, not Queens of the Stone Age.
It's a really good album, though. I'm probably going to listen to it.
Honestly, any of Queens' albums will also complement a fat bag of grass.
For sure.
Nicely.
Just, yeah.
Don't even do it. Don't even do anything to it. Just hold it.
You really can't go wrong. Nope. Unless, you know, you're next to a police officer.
Or your parents.
Right.
Or your grandma.
Or your parents, because they'll totally ground you.
Yeah.
Narcs.
Sure.
Did I ever tell you the story of when my parents found weed in my room?
No.
And I told them it was Cameron's.
Did they believe you?
I think.
Did they make you flush it?
No, I mean, I guess they flushed it themselves.
They just told you that they did.
Maybe they smoked it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Roseanne.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when I said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go get a burrito.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna get some motherfucking Panera Bread.
Ooh, you fancy
living the high life?
What's the occasion?
Did you guys get married? Tell me. You're
yeah, going to Panera we Bread. Decided to just go ahead and get married, and now we're celebrating with Panera Bread.
Only the finest.
All right. You know, we can't relate to commoners anymore.
No, you're married you now.
We meet more of our own types at Panera Bread.
Yeah.
People who know how to pronounce focaccia.
All right, I guess we're done.
We'll be back next week with a different band.